Romans 13 and verse 1. We have new people in the class, so I have to go over some things. Again, this is a real Greek text. This young lady over there asked me tonight, what Bible? And I said, Nestle-Allen. We'll see. This is the one I suggest, is Nestle-Allen. And it's all Greek. But it is the best text. It has an apparatus in the bottom. As you can see, this is the apparatus. From there down, this is the text, this is the apparatus that tells you the history of the Greek text. Okay? And all the different variant readings it might have through all from AD 1 to present tense. Okay? And anyway, it goes all, as you can see, there's a lot. It tells you everything about the text. Now, you may not want to get into this as deeply as this, and may just like to study the Bible here from fruit. So we will do that mostly. But I'll throw a little Greek at you now and then. And the one I really like to study with this, and we're doing all the classes, the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible is an expanded translation from Greek and Hebrew, and it's not too bad. Many translations intentionally go wrong according to their theology. All right? How many translations of the Bible, when you come to the word baptizo or baptize, translates as immerse? And that's what it should be. Okay? There are a few. If you get the Sacred Name Bible, you will find it'll say John the Dipper, John the Immerser. Okay? It translates it correctly. And every time it said he dipped him in the water or immersed him in the water, you'll see different things like that. The Church of England, when they translated the King James Bible, they didn't dip people. They sprinkled. So, they did not want to translate the word immerse. They just put, well, let's don't do it. Let's put the word baptized. We'll call it a rite or an institution or something. We won't do translate that correctly. All right. Anyway, hardly any Bible translates it correctly. It might say over there in the column someplace, and you can do it. This is my old analytical Greek lexicon. This is an analytical Greek lexicon, and a lexicon means what's the difference in them? For you older students, this is a test. What is the difference between an analytical lexicon and a Greek lexicon? Or a Greek or Hebrew. What's the difference between an analytical lexicon and a lexicon? An analytical lexicon takes every word in the New Testament or the Old Testament and tells you what part of speech it is, and then tells you what root it is. See, over here are the roots from all of these things. Okay? So, you at least you know you can get one of these. All right? You can go online. This is Onabrin's in the 1970s. It is the best analytical Greek lexicon that's ever been printed. But, they're out of print. All good stuff you've got to look for.
That's the whole Bible, or
just the New Testament? That's just the New Testament. The Greek Septuagint, which is a Greek Old Testament, there is an analytical Greek lexicon to the Septuagint, and there is a lexicon to the Septuagint. And there's also a concordance to the Septuagint. I didn't bring all the books. I would have the whole table full of nothing but Greek books for you to see otherwise. But there's a concordance to the Greek New Testament that puts every Greek word and tells you every place it's found in the Bible. Okay? You ready? 13 and 1. All right. Anyone read that first word there? Hasa. Psyche. See, word psychology comes right out of that word, doesn't it? Psychology is what? The study of what? The soul. All right? The soul. All right. Exousios. Hyperexousios. See what I mean? Hypotasesto. U. Gar. Estin. Exousia. A. May. Hypo. We get words in English right out of hypo, don't we? All right, or hypo. All right, that means like hypoglycemia. All right. See you. We got a word right out of, in English, right out of that word, don't we? Theology. All right. And then hey, they, use, hepo, theu, tetogmene. All right. Now, this is probably one of the most misunderstood and mistranslated and misapplied scripture in the New Testament that we just read. All right. Let's look that in some translation, okay? What translation do you have there, Neil? Do you have that open?
I've got it open. I got the New American.
Okay, let's look at that. I want you to just read that out loud.
Okay, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God.
Okay. Now that's the general idea of this. Okay? In Greek it says pasa every, pas. Alright, that means all. Okay? Every soul, every life, every individual of life. Okay? Every individual alive. I want you to understand something. Law and order is a must. Law and order is a must. By the way, if any of you did not get the Greek text, it's over there. Did you get one, young lady?
I think it was last week.
You did or didn't?
Did you have it last week?
Yeah. Well, some of them. Do you have the big one? The text? Okay. All right. If it's a big one, yeah. All right. We're in Romans 13:1. Every individual of life. All right? Now this word is psyche here. What is the Hebrew word for life, for soul? Remember what that is? You Hebrew students? Nefesh. 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 Nefesh is the Hebrew word for soul, okay? And of course our English word comes right out of psychology, psychologist, all of the words, the study of the soul, okay? That's what this word comes from. And then exousios. All right? Exousia means authorities. And then hyperekousios. Those are the ones above or excelling or over everyone else. All right? Present, participle, active, dative, plural, feminine. Let be subject. And that means get in line. That means fall in line or to underrow, literally. To obey. Okay? For naught is authority except by the agency of God. And we have to bring down up here all the ones, moreover, existing under God, having been arranged. They are. Okay? Now, Daniel 2:21, let's go and look at Daniel 2:21. Okay? Some people go too far with this thing. We're going to go back to Genesis, the 9th chapter also. So if you've got, that's the first book in the Bible, you know, the book of Bereshith, the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, all right? That's what it means. The word Genesis comes from the Greek word genomai. Are you over there, Brother Bennett?
I got it.
Okay.
2:21?
Yes.
It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding.
This little Bible map up here on the wall, it's called what? A Bible map or God's plan of the ages. Okay, God's plan of the ages. God laid out the ages and everything in it in eternity past. He knew every human being that would ever live in space and time. Okay? Not everything is God's direct will. Did you know that? That happens in the world? Okay? Not everything is God's direct will. Who is the God of this age? Satan. Satan has a whole lot to do with everything that's out here. Demon angels, or demon spirits and fallen angels, have a lot to do with what's happening in the world. We know that. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and verse 10. Six and verse 12. Let's go there and look at that for a minute in the Amplified Bible. All right. If anyone's... Rebecca, are you over there? Ephesians 6 and 12. Ephesians. All right. Ephesians. By the way, the book of Ephesians is not the book of Ephesians. Huh? The book of Ephesians is not the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is actually a general epistle. It is an epistle to all the churches. The word inepesu, if you look in there, in your Greek text or even in your English text, if you have a study Bible, it'll say inephesus was not in the original languages or in the original manuscripts. Are you over there, Rebecca? Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Ephesians 6 and 12.
We are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the...
Okay, right. Hold on just right there for a minute. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood, that means human beings, doesn't it? All right? That means human beings. But, that's a strong adversity conjunction. What?
Against the despotism?
Yeah.
Against...
Despots.
Despots?
Uh-huh.
Against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this...
The master spirits. The world grabbers. That's what it says. The world grabbers. Okay?
Against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere.
All right. Now, nearly every world empire that was great and fantastic and gigantic, every civilization that was a giant civilization, great monuments and everything, was built upon what? Slavery. When the we have what were some of those great civilizations? What? Rome.
Egypt.
Way back yonder. Huh?
Babylonian,
Persian Empire. America. America. South America and Central America were some of the greatest civilizations in the world. China. If you look at the civilizations, how many of you know that there were great cities in America? Gigantic cities like they were in Egypt and in China. There were civilizations here that were tremendously large. A city might have 200,000 or 300,000 people in it. In Central and South America. North America did not have that. Every great empire was built upon what? Manipulation of the masses and slavery. Okay. North America, the North American Indians were what? They're all democracies from coast to coast. All individual societies. So they didn't build great empires. They had their families, what do we call tribes and everything, from coast to coast. There were lots of them. But if you go into Central and South America, you'll find cultures in there. The Mayan and the Aztec cultures, they were millions and great cities, but these great cities were built upon what? Manipulation of the masses. You know, the wild Indians and the Amazon and all, those are the ones that escaped from the Spanish explorers. Cortez came in, he wiped out whole races of people and drove many of them into the forest. Before that, they were great civilizations built upon slavery. And much of it was human sacrifice. People manipulating other people and controlling masses of people. All right? Well, you see that in almost every ancient culture, Nimrod. When Cain went out and he left Eden, wherever that was, wherever they were in Eden, when he went out, he went into the land of Nod. What does Nod mean? He became a what? Cindy. Nod. The land of wandering. He went into the land of wandering. He became a vagabond. What was Cain's occupation? He was a farmer. And the ground was already cursed because of Adam's sin. And then when he murdered his brother and slew him, he did what? He shed blood on the ground. And the ground was doubly cursed because of it. Okay? It was doubly cursed because of it. And so he said, your curse is double. So what did he do? He went out and did what? Huh? He wandered, but he wandered off in the land of Nod and he made slaves. He invented slavery. Nimrod, greatly, the mighty hunter, he was a slave owner. All right? That's how the Tower of Babel was. That's how Babylon was built. That's where Abraham came from, remember? That's where he wandered out of. Okay, let's look at some other scriptures. John 19 and verse 11. I want to look at that one in the New Testament. Hey, kine, diatheke. That's the New Testament. Hey, the kine, new, diatheke, covenant, or testament. All right. John 19 and verse 11. Cindy, are you over there? Might near? Almost? 19 and verse 11.
Jesus answered, you would not have any power or authority whatsoever against me if it were not given you from above. For this reason, the sin and guilt of the one who delivered me over you is greater.
That's right. Pontius Pilate did everything he could do to release Jesus. He declared him innocent 5 times, but the Jewish government would not allow him to set him free. He even said, I'll make you give you a choice. I'll give you a murderer, which was Barabbas. By the way, what does Barabbas mean? Come on, you Hebrew students. Barabbas. Son of the Father. What father do you think that he was the son of? The old devil himself. All right? Okay, so he said that God allowed this to happen. How about Hitler? Do you think that was God's will for Hitler to be on the throne?
Yes.
And Germany? That's right. Thank you, Brother Bill. It was God's permissive will. He wasn't doing his direct pleasure, but he was his... Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Jews in the world today, most of the Jews in the world today, are in direct opposition to God's will. Did you know that? They are still the slayers of the Messiah. Okay? They're in the land because God said that He's going to return them to the land because He's going to get ready to stomp them real good over here in the tribulation period to make them useful again. Right now, they're not useful to Him. But He's going to make them useful. God used Hitler to allow the Jews to be beat up so they'd want a homeland. See, that would stick them back to the land. That would make them want to go back to the land. Right? God allowed that to happen. That's God's permissive will. God's direct will would be somebody that He wanted to be on the throne. So many people think that that all government leaders are ordained of God. What is ordained of God? God ordained government, did He not? Look back there where He had, see where it says in number 3, after the flood, what does it say up there? Human government. Let's go look and see what human government has to do to be legitimate. Why is God ordaining human government? Why is government necessary? Why is government? It's necessary among the wild aborigines of Africa. It's a government. It's what we call law in the jungles of South America, down in the aborigines in Australia, in the Americas. Every tribe in Europe, by the way, all those people, the Russians and Germans and all those people, those were tribes. Tribes of people that beat each other up for years. But there has to be law among all people. Why? Because we got bad guys and we got super bad guys. And then we got the normal run-of-the-mill people. So what does the government have to do for you to make itself legitimate? Go to Genesis, the 9th chapter. And let's look at it. Genesis 9. Genesis chapter 9. Are you there, Cindy? Mm-hmm. All right.
Over.
4 through 6. Genesis 9, 4 through 6. Let's see what a government's supposed to do. We could go into a gob of scriptures here on this, because this is a real foundational scripture. This is something that people rest. What do you have, Cindy?
But you shall not eat flesh of the life of it, which is its blood.
Yeah, flesh. Okay, now this is after the flood. Before the flood, no human being was allowed to eat animal flesh. Did you know that? That's history. That's Bible history. Animals were not created to be eaten. That wasn't the purpose of animals. Animals were created for companionship. Okay? That's the way it was back in the garden. Okay? But after the curse, now we did offer blood sacrifice over there in the age of conscience, but then it failed, didn't it? But they weren't allowed to eat animals yet. Okay? Then we had the flood, and now we have human government, and we're going to set up human government, and we're going to find out what basic human government is supposed to do. Okay? And we're going to find out what happened over in Cain's day while the ground was double cursed, too. All right? Go ahead, Cindy.
And surely for your lifeblood I will require an accounting. From every beast I will require...
Okay, every animal has to be controlled. Did you know that? There is law over animals. Animals have to be controlled. If you didn't control your animals in the law of Moses, you were in trouble. And if your animal killed somebody or hurt somebody, you were required to pay the penalty. Maybe your life. It was the animal's life and your life. Go ahead, Cindy. Now, this at this period of time, man has been given animals to eat, okay? He can eat animals now. And that's when the fear of man was put in animals. Go ahead, Cindy.
And from man, from every man, I will require a reckoning. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God he made man.
All right, now what is the basic rule of government? What's the basis of all government? People must be protected from people. The government must protect you from bad people. The government must protect you from being robbed. It must protect you from being harmed. If somebody pokes your eye out, they're in trouble. And the government's supposed to do this. All right? We went into, when we studied the law of Moses, we went through that, and I mean to tell you what, there's a lot of laws in there that we don't think about today. Almost all the laws that we have in the books today should be based upon the Bible. All right? If the laws in any government were based upon the Bible, there would never been an innocent man ever executed. Did you know that? If any man ever, whether he was a leader or a king, if he ever shed innocent blood, no man, no king is above the law. No man is above the law. Henry VIII should have had the guillotine. They'd have had it. Yeah. He should have had it. Because he was a murderer. He shed innocent blood. We know that today. Go ahead, Cindy. That was six? Could you read that again?
Okay. But you shall not eat flesh with the life of it, which is its blood. And surely...
Hold it on there. You're not supposed to go and kill an animal and drink its blood. Because the blood is sacred. If you killed an animal during this period of time here of the tabernacle, you had to bring... When the tabernacle was still in the land, when they were wandering out there and following the tabernacle, you couldn't go out and kill a goat in your backyard. Did you know that? You couldn't do that. You could not just shed its blood because God says the blood is sacred. You had to take it to the priest and they would kill it kosherly and they would shed its blood and they would take that blood and give it an honorable burial. That's just the ones you're going to eat. That's not the sacrifices. Now, people. You'll go check me out. It's there. All right. Let's go on a little bit further. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, 6 through 8. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. Galatians 1 and 4. Let's look at some of these verses. This is a foundation for what we're talking about right here. We're talking about law and order here. We're talking about establishing law and order. It doesn't have anything to do with kingdoms. Period. This is law and order. And if any government to be a legitimate government, it has to protect its people from the bad guys. And if it's not doing that, it's not legal. It's not legal as far as God's concerned. If your government doesn't protect you from the bad guys, then it is illegitimate. It's not doing its job. Something's wrong someplace. All right? Who's got any of those that I said? 1 Corinthians 6 and 8. All right, Brother John.
However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory.
Okay, now what it's saying here is God set up every age. He figured them out before time. He would allow people to rule. He would allow people to do this, and he allowed people to do that. I can guarantee you, when Cortez went into Mexico City and he killed 120,000 of those Indians, that wasn't God's direct will. 120,000 people were murdered. Right in that day. That's a lot. There was a Chinese ruler one time that killed 2 million people in his ministry. He murdered 2 million people. That's a lot of people to kill. I can guarantee you that wasn't God's direct will. I can assure. He did allow it to happen because why? Who's the God of this age? Yeah, Satan. All right. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 and Galatians 1 and 4. Who's got one? Are you? Which one are you are there, Penny? Okay.
For the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds that they should not discern the truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the Messiah, who is the image and likeness of God.
All right. You know, when you go down to the courthouse, that every judge and every lawyer down there is going to be twice judged before God more than you? Because they are in a place of position of authority. And they are in trouble with God. When they sell out and prostitute themselves to carry out misjustice, I can guarantee you they will meet it in the end. Because, yes?
Preachers are the same, right?
What?
Preachers are the same, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yeah. If you don't preach the truth, you're going to answer for it too. How great a judgment do you think Charles Taze Russell is meeting today? Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and places like that. Look at all the people that they have led astray. Okay? Galatians 1 and 4. Who has Galatians 1 and 4? Who has that? Brother John, you have that over there? Galatians 1 and 4? Who's got Galatians 1 and 4? Jim.
Galatians 1 and 4. Who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. That's what we're looking for. The rescuing from this age. Rescue us from this age. Somebody was talking a little bit earlier. We talked about how bad it was today. The evilness out in the world today, all of the, in the last days, that's the way it's going to be. Okay? All right, Hebrews 11. Well, let's go Hebrews 1 and 2, 6 and 5, and 11 and 3. In the Amplified Bible, please. All right. Hebrews 1 and 2, and 6 and 5, and 11 and 3. In Amplified, whoever's got Amplified. It's, who's got Penny?
But in the last of these days he has spoken to us in the person of a son, whom he anointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the world and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order.
All right. He allowed everything to come into order because you know what? Everything that God has ever done is going to be glorified the world and everything in it is going to be glorified by the agency of His Son. That's it. That's who's going to get all the glory in the end. We'll fall down at His feet. He is the one that brings us through everything. All right. Hebrews 6 and 5. Are you over there, Rebecca? 6 and 5? All right.
And have felt how good the Word of God is in the mighty powers of the age and world to come.
All right. The age and the world to come. And then Hebrews 11 and verse 3 there, Rebecca. The age to come. God has laid out the ages, time periods. All right. The dispensations. All right. The dispensations. We've got something going on here in the church right now. It's called an oikos. Oikos. That's where you meet, where you try to evangelize your own family, your own home. Okay? Each oikos, stewardship of time, oikodome, we're supposed to build in. While we're on this earth, we have a stewardship. And our stewardship is around us. And the people that we meet, the people that we run with, our family, everything else, that we're responsible to them. We're God's stewards at this time to carry out His will. Or what do you have there, Rebecca? 11 and 3.
By faith we understand that the world during successive ages were framed,
that's right,
fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the Word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible.
Okay. And there's another thing that just blows away ex nihilo, out of nothing. God didn't create out of nothing. He created out of something. And that something, everything that we see came from God. The invisible came to the visible. All right? Man came from the hand of God. He was not made out of dirt, but he was made from the same elements that God created the dirt, but prophetically to become dirt. All right? So now we have a foundation here of what this is talking about. It's not talking about... I brought the preface to the King James Version of the Bible. And this is what they believed. I'm going to read this paragraph to you, okay? Great and manifold were the blessings most dread sovereign. Almighty God, the Father of all mercies, bestowed upon us, the people of England. He's talking about the King of England, okay? King James. When first He sent Your Majesty's royal person to rule and to reign over us. All right? See, they real went to the extreme on this. That's not what it's talking about. What is the purpose of a government? To protect people from each other. That's the purpose of a government. Period. They went a little bit further with this thing. When He first sent Your royal master, royal person to rule and reign over us, for whereas it was the expectation of many who wished not well into our Zion, that upon the setting of the bright occidental star, Queen Elizabeth of most happy memory, some thick and palpable clouds of darkness would so have overshadowed this land that men should have been in doubt which way they were to walk. That's talking about religiously, okay? Now, what's happened on here with the King James Version of the Bible? Henry VIII split from the Catholic Church because he wanted a divorce. And the Pope wouldn't give him divorce. Now, he's all messed up already with that false religion, okay? But he created another one that was just like it. What he did is he chased all of the Catholics out of England, and only those that would swear allegiance to him. He confiscated every church house and everything that the Catholic Church owned in England and said, it's mine. And he started his own church. All right? When King James came on the scene, by the time, you know, Bloody Mary had been on the scene, Henry brought everybody to the Church of England. Okay? He kicked out the Catholics. Mary comes on the scene. She kills everybody but the Catholics. All right? And then we go back to the Church of England again. And how King James, Elizabeth, and King James come on the scene. All right? They wanted to bring everybody back into the Church of England, which we have the Anglican Church, Episcopal Church, and the Church of England, okay? They wanted to bring them back into the Church of England and get rid of the Baptists that were giving them so much trouble, that were preaching the Bible. So they made a Bible to suit their religion, and that's what the King James Version is. It was a Bible written to combat Baptists and to combat Catholics. That's the reason why King James wrote his Bible. And that's what it tells right here. But they say that God lets you go over us to bring everybody back into the fold. All right. Just not every government is ordained of God. We've got some real bad dudes out there. You go down to some of these South American countries, and that's what we call a banana republic, something. And what are they doing down there? The guy that's got the most guns wins. And what's going on here in America? The guy that tells the most lies wins. Okay? But are we being ruled correctly? Are you being protected? All right. 13:2. Hoste. Now, what I have just said, every sentence, every verse is going to confirm what we were just talking about. Hoste. Ho. Ha. Antitasomenos. Te exousia. Te tu theou. Dia tage. Anathes tekin. Hoi de. Antes te kotes. Hiatos. Prima. Lame. Onte. Now let's go back and look at this one. So the one standing against the authority. What authority is this talking about? This is talking about the police officers. This is talking about the firemen. These are the people that go out and try to take control when things are out of order. The judges, the lawyers, are supposed to be officers of the court. Okay? Now one that's really doing his job, wouldn't it be nice if you could go hire a lawyer that would really tell the truth? Mm-hmm. Lawyers today are paid liars. That's it. And the one that can talk the loudest and tell the most lies and finagle somebody is going to win. The truth doesn't really matter many times, does it? So the one standing against the authority in of the God, the authority that's in place, by the authority of God, an ordinance, diatage, that means placing through. This means to set in place. Has been opposed, has been stood against, the ones, moreover, having been opposed to themselves, judgment shall receive for themselves. Third person plural future indicative middle voice. They shall receive for themselves. Now let's go back and let's read this in the Amplified Bible. Rebecca, are you over there in the Amplified Bible also? Okay.
Therefore, he who resists and sets himself up against the authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. And those who resist will bring down judgment upon themselves, receiving the penalty due them.
All right. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, God's going to call all of them in order. When they go before, oh, I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be a lawyer or a judge. Or even maybe a county supervisor. There's some rascals out there, I'm telling you. But they're going to be accountable to God. And they are accountable to God right now. They just don't know it. They think they got everything in their pockets. Brother Bill.
Yeah. You know, the court system in England, before you can practice in court, you have to be an official Queen's Counselor. Mm-hmm. This is both the attorney for the prosecution and the attorney for the defense. And if an attorney for the defense knows that his client confesses that he is guilty, he cannot plead innocent for him.
Mm-hmm.
He says you have to get another lawyer because I cannot do that. So basically, both of them are supposed to be accountable first, not to their client, but to the Queen.
That's right. Which is the government.
Yes.
All right. That's a good thing. Maybe we ought to go back to that.
Yeah.
Maybe we ought to go back to a little bit of that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy, and I know some of you heard this story before, by the name of Mo Man Pruitt. You can read about him in He Made It Safe to Murder and Mo Man Pruitt, criminal lawyer. All right, that's the two books that were written. One written about him, he made it safe to murder, and the other one, the Momon Pruitt, criminal lawyer. Momon Pruitt was a young boy. He was arrested and thrown into prison when he was a young boy, about 15 years old. His mother petitioned for the judge to turn her free. He stayed in there. He was sick in prison. He just had a terrible time. Finally, she got him off prison. He was always trying to do right. He was unruly. He only went to school 11 months in his life. But he had a brilliant mind. He had a photographic memory. He had memorized all the Bible, and he memorized all of the law books. He got out of prison. He went to work in a law office cleaning up spittoons so he could read the law books. And when the lawyers would be working on a case, and they would be arguing about this kind of stuff, he'd say, "Sirs, you know what? I think if you did this, it would be a lot better." And they looked at that boy, and he said, "It's on page so-and-so in such-and-such book." And they went there, and every time they followed the boy's advice, they won the case. Well, he was working in a hotel. He was doing all kinds of jobs. He was working in a hotel, cleaning out spittoons and cleaning rooms and shining shoes and all kinds of stuff. And they had a drunk in there, and the drunk was really wealthy. And they told him to go up there and put the drunk in bed. So he went up there and put the drunk in bed, and his buddy, and the drunk asked him, he said, "Stay in here with me and sleep in here with me tonight, and go get me a bottle of whiskey in the morning." And he had like $7,000 in his pocket. The desk clerk down there set the room on fire. Momon Pruitt almost died in the room, and the old man did die. They arrested Momon Pruitt for stealing his money, but there was no money. He had no money. He had no reason to steal the money. But he was framed. And he went to court, and he didn't have a lawyer to defend him. And the judge, they were raking him over the coals, and he stood up there to the judge, and Momon was a hothead. He was about 16 years old at this time, and he told that judge, he said, "If you send me to prison again for doing nothing, I have not been guilty of anything except hard work and honesty in my life. If you send me to prison, I'm going to become a lawyer, and I'm going to turn every thief and murderer and liar in society loose on you and prove to you your system doesn't work." Guess what he did? He got out of prison finally, and he became one of the greatest lawyers in America and turned up more killers and murders. He tried 300 and some odd murder cases, and not one of them would ever hung. This one black guy murdered this guy. They were out there fighting over a girl. He beat the guy up. He went to get on his horse, and the guy came at him with a knife to stab him. He took the knife away from the guy. He run it through his stomach. He cut his throat from ear to ear and stabbed into both of his eyes. A horrible murder. And he said, "I did it." He threw him down on the ground. He cut his throat from one side, pulled his head over, and cut it from the other side. And then stabbed that knife in both of his eyes. Well, they said that he should be hanged. Momon Pruitt was defending him as a public defender, and he wasn't very wealthy lawyer at that time, whatever. He paid his own expenses, went to the President of the United States and petitioned that they give him a commuted sentence and leave him as life imprisonment. He said, "That boy is so dumb. He's never been a mile from his house in his life, and he doesn't know right from wrong. He's no different than a dog or a cat." He said, why could you hang a dog or a cat for killing another dog or another cat?" He said, "He's no different than that." And he got him off. He did spend the rest of his life in prison, which he belonged to. One time he turned this guy, got him turned loose. He had murdered somebody, and he turned him loose. And he drove to the prison where that guy was going to be. He got him off for life imprisonment. But he was a murderer. He didn't believe in capital punishment. He got him off for murder. He told that prison guard, "Don't you ever let this man out." He said, "If you let him out, he'll rape your wife and kill her and steal everything in your house." He said, "This man is bad. He should have hung, but he said, I couldn't do it." He said, "There's so much malpractice in this country," he said, "I couldn't let the man hang. I just couldn't do it." But he said, "Don't ever let him out. Don't ever make him a trustee at all. He will kill the other prisoners. Leave him alone." the warden pardoned the man, he went out and killed the man and stole everything he had as soon as he got it. Justice. Highway patrolmen, sheriff, policemen, firemen, lawyers, judges are sworn to defend law and order correctly. But that doesn't always happen, does it? We know that as history in this country, the Wild West. My great-great-grandfather killed 20-something men. Some of them he didn't have to, but he was a law officer. Sometimes he made up his own rules. He finally was killed too. 13 and verse 3. How do you say this? The first word there. Anybody know how to do it? It looks just like English, except it's got an H in front of it. See that rough reader? Hoi. Gar. Archontes. Ook. See that word ook there? It looks just like English, doesn't it? You didn't have to learn any Greek at all to read that word. Asim. Phobos. What English word do you think comes from that word? Phobia. There's a whole lot of medical terms in Greek. Phobia. To agatho. Ergo. Alla. Tu. Kaku. Deles. De. Me. Phobeste. Tame. Exousion. To agathon. Poie. Kai. Exe. Epinon. Ex. Alte. For the rulers, the head peoples, the ark. In Hebrew, the word for head is what? Rosh. This is just like this, Rosh. This is the head, the heads, the archontes. The tips, the heads. Not our fear to the good work. But, that's the word strong adversative conjunction there, or Allah. A weak adversative conjunction is they or kai. Okay? But it's Allah here. This is a strong adversative conjunction. But to the kako. Remember what we talked about last week? We talked about Adamic meanness. You wish, the lace. Moreover, here's your weak adversity conjunction particle, not particle of negation, may, phobeste, to fear, present infinitive mental voice, to fear for yourself the authority. If you're doing good, you don't have to fear any authority, if you're under a legitimate authority. Okay? To do, and you shall have praise out of it. Okay? You shall have praise out of it. Pity. Thank you.
I've got to turn this antique over.
But it does work. Sometimes it's the only thing I have. The other day we did a recorded a class, and the only thing I had was on the Hi-8 tape and that camera. They don't cooperate sometimes. All right, let's read that from... Amplified Bible, Penny.
For civil authorities are not a terror to people of good conduct, but to those of bad behavior. Would you have no dread of him who is in authority? Then do what is right, and you will receive his approval and commendation.
All right. If you're doing right in a legitimate government, you don't have to worry about anything. Nobody's going to mess with you. You just go on, you just put one foot in front of the other, and you just do the right thing. Okay? And you have nothing to fear, do you? America was supposed to be a place where you go out and you work hard and you do something and you get to keep what you have. Supposedly. Okay? Isn't that what's supposed to happen? Okay? That's what's supposed to happen in England, what's supposed to happen in Australia, in Canada, in any country. You go into some country that is such a horrible place to live that if you don't know somebody, you're going to be a slave. And great societies are built upon slavery. Remember that. Slavery. All right. 13 and verse 4. Cindy, can you say that first word there?
Theu.
Theu. Boy, you're really good at that. What's the next word? Gar. All right. Diakinos. Eston. Sui. Ace. Is that word ace there? You could read that in English, couldn't you? You can read the next one, too. Tol. Agathon. Eon. Day. Tol. Takon. Poyes. Bobu. U. Gar. Eke. Tain. Mykiron. Thore. Theu. Gar. Diakonos. Estes. The sword. Why do we have the death penalty? Why do we have the death penalty? Go to Numbers 35 and 29 through 33. Numbers 35, 29 through 33. And you can cross-reference Genesis 9, 1 through 17 here if you want to do that also. Okay? Numbers 35, 29 through 33. Are you over there yet, brother? No? Okay. Who's over there? Brother John, you over there? No? Who's over there in Numbers? All right, Brother Jim.
35, 29?
Yeah, 29 through
33. Okay. These things shall be for a statutory ordinance to you throughout your generations in all your dwellings. If anyone kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death as a...
Hold on right there. If anyone kills a person, the murderer shall what? Be put to death. All right? The death penalty is absolutely a deterrent to crime. I can assure you. You don't do it the second time. Do you? Deborah.
This guy, he told me, he says, I don't think God would want to put people to death. I said, well, he sure did. He let his son die.
Well, see, now right here is God's word. This is under the law, but I'm going to tell you something. What is going on right here is good in the courts today. They need to read this verse. Okay, they need to read this verse. Go ahead, Brother Jim, a little further. We're not finished with it yet. He's not finished with us yet. All right, now we need to have evidence of the right kind of witnesses. And how many witnesses in the Old Testament did it take to make a life and death penalty fact? Two or more witnesses. At least two witnesses. You couldn't put a guy to death on circumstantial evidence. Moman Pruitt, he defended people that there might be 200 witnesses to the murder. And he still got them off. That shouldn't have happened. But he twisted the law up and he played with the law because it was playable. And it was pliable. And it was viable. Viable. It was for sale. One guy called Moman Pruitt up and he said, I'm going on trial for murder. He said, I've got $3,000. Will you defend me? He said, I'll be there next week with three eyewitnesses. That kind of justice we don't need. All right, we don't need that kind of justice. Go on, Brother Jim. That's no person shall be put to death. One witness. Why? Why? Because that witness could be lying. That witness could be his worst enemy. That's why. You don't want to just rely on one witness because this guy could have been paid for. He could have been bought. Have you ever known anybody buy a witness? You go back there, he made it safe to murder. You can see a lot of witnesses that were bought. A lot of witnesses that were bought. Brother Bill.
Jim, today we have forensic evidence.
Yes.
Which is often, sometimes is even better than a person who sees.
Yeah.
You've got DNA, you've got fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel about the use of DNA as one of the two witnesses?
I think it's valuable, but when we're talking about law and order and we're talking about death penalty, I think if we go according to God's rules, we're not going to go wrong. How many innocent people have been executed, murdered?
But you know, O.J. Simpson, nobody saw it. But yet, the forensic evidence was irrefutable.
Yeah. Yeah. But
again. Moreover, you shall not take ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. You shall not take ransom for him who has fled to his city of refuge, that he may return to live in the land before the death of the priest. So you shall not pollute the land in which you are, for blood pollutes the land, and no expiation can be made for the land for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it.
The land is cursed that does not carry out the death penalty. The land is cursed. The land is cursed. The country is cursed. For a country to be legitimate, it must protect its people. It has to. All right. 13 and verse 4. You want to do one more or you want to quit right there? One more? Okay. What? We did, didn't we? Oh, out of the judges of wrath to the ones the evil practicing. And did we read that from Amplified? We didn't read that from the Amplified Bible. Rebecca, do you still have that open?
13:3?
Yeah, the 13 and verse 4.
For he is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, you should dread him and be afraid, for he does not bear and wear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant to execute his wrath, punishment, vengeance on the wrongdoer.
All right. We don't hold responsible executioners. He is a servant of the country, the executioner is. He's the servant of the country. All right, 13 and verse 5. Dio, anake, hypotasioste. And what's the next one? U, mono, dia, tain, orgain, alla. Kai, dia, tain, and sin a deison. Wherefore, it is bindingly, absolutely necessary to compress, to constrain to the other. This is absolutely a necessity to be subject, to stand under, present infinitive middle voice, not only because of the wrath, but also because of the conscience. Remember, we have an age of conscience over there also. Remember that? The responsible in the age of conscience was what? Do good and offer a blood sacrifice. Do good and remember God. Remember God. All right, 13 and verse 5. Let's read that one time. And by the way, Ecclesiastes 8:1-17 and 1 Peter 2:13-19 are cross-references to this. And then if you take all the verses down or on the thing about the age of conscience, you can write them down below also. Let's read this. Penny, are you over there?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are you there?
No.
You're not. Okay, Penny.
Therefore, one must be subject not only to avoid God's wrath and escape punishment, but also as a matter of principle and for the sake of conscience.
All right, I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to make God happy if you're a successful lawyer getting criminals off. You're going to have bad conscience. Not only that, you're going to be in a lot of trouble in the hereafter. Okay? Same way with a judge. Same with a county commissioner. With whoever, a law officer that has perverted justice is in a lot of trouble. He may get by with it all the way through this life, but he won't get by with it in eternity. Because he's going to answer to it. And you know what? I don't care how seared his conscience is. How seared his conscience is. It's not going to work. All right, we'll start at 13 and verse 6, and that's where we're going to pay our taxes next week. Right. This should be in April, shouldn't it? All right. And this is what day of the month is this? 25. All right. I knew a school teacher could tell me that. All right. Let's go out and do something eternal. And let's have a word of prayer. And go out and jump on the world and tell them how the cow eats the cabbage. All right. Rebecca, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the time that we have set aside for us to learn your word today.